The Ideal Family. This is Dr. Herbert O. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The Ideal Family. Just what is the Ideal Family? Well, the Ideal Family is a family that's got their nose in each other's business all the time. It's always trying to figure out what the others are doing, always trying to tell everybody else what to do and how to do it and what to think about it. And the Ideal Family is a family that is totally into each other's business. Totally. Now, I think that's sort of an ideal family all of us would like to stay away from. We'd like to get out of such a family. We don't want to be part of a family where everybody's got their nose in your business. Now, in an ideal family, mother should be able to go into everybody's bedroom or everybody's rooms or desks or drawers or what have you and do whatever is necessary, put in fresh clothes or whatever, and or even just look, and should always see everything. Now, when Mary Jane is falling in love, and she has her special little diary, which is her private diary, and it has a big padlock on so that nobody can break into it. It's a nothing lock, you know. But it has just a little closure. And she sets it on her desk, and it's sitting there, right in the open. And her brothers come in her room, and they do whatever they do. And they may lay on her bed, because it's nice and sunny in her room, and read a book there. Or they may go through her drawers and see what sort of panties she has and stuff like that, which they already know. And so they look around, and they see the diary laying on the desk, and they think, diary? Now, if I had a diary, I wouldn't like anyone to look into it. And so then they never touch her diary, because they want respect from her as well as they want from the rest of their family. That's fine. They want respect from each other, and so they must first give respect to themselves. Now, she can have her diary right on top of her desk. She can have her diary right in the middle of her bed, and they have to move it so they can lay there in the sun, enjoy the sun. Never once thinking of opening that diary. Never once thinking of looking into those secret thoughts that teenage girls have as they're teenage girls. And teenage boys have secret thoughts too. Now, why is it that a mother is so surprised when she goes into her son's pockets and finds rocks and toads and other sorts of things? And why is she so surprised? Or does a mother, when she gets the clothing from the children, go through all the pockets, and if she finds a toad and stones and other things in the boy's pocket, she puts it in a little box on his desk and doesn't say a thing? It's none of her business. It's none of her business. Her business is to wash the clothing, not to be concerned with what he has in his pockets, and not to say, oh, he had a snake in his pocket, you know. Oh, so what? If it was a poisonous snake, that he's really pretty magical, being untouched by it. But my point is this. When you live in yourself as a divine being, you can have all the secrets you want. And you have no secrets. Because the secret is what you try to keep other people from knowing. And if you respect other people's, not privacy, but their right to have their experiences themselves, then other people will respect you. And if you don't respect other people's privacy or right to have things of their own, then you will have other people going through your stuff. Who was in my dresser drawer? My clothes are all pushed aside, or this or that. You know, just look, trying to look underneath my clothes for some reason. Who was in my drawer? You know, and that doesn't happen. If a mother goes in your drawer and she finds a sex book in there or something like that, she thinks to herself, my son's growing up. He's coming of hormone age. Don't think a thing about it. And it will pass in its normal phased program. It will not be a pornographic type of thing. It'll just be an educational type of thing. And it won't be something ugly and terrible. It'll just be something, yuck, you know, whatever, you know. If you did everything that you read about, you'd be quite amazing. So, as your children have their growing up time, when they learn respect for themselves and for the world, now, would you go into your mother's dresser drawer and take out the love letters that your father had written to your mother that are very treasured to her? Would you take that out? Would you even care? You're happy that your mom and dad like each other and that they're married, but that's none of your business. Not that you shouldn't, you couldn't, you wouldn't, but it's not something you do. Not because of any other reason. You just respect that prize. They're not hiding it. It's in their special little drawer. Oh, it's a big old locked box, you know, that if you jiggle it, the lock comes open, you know, on like a stationary box or something like that. But the thing is, in our home, there were five of us kids and mom and dad. Well, I don't remember, not that I shouldn't go into mother's dresser drawer, but I don't ever remember going into the dresser drawer in my mom and dad's room. I don't ever remember opening their drawers for any reason. I didn't put their clothes away, you know. I put it on their bed, and they put it away where they wanted it, you know. And I didn't go in their closet where their clothes were hanging. In fact, I remember looking in my dad's closet only once when I was in his room and he was going to the closet to get out the wedding suit because he was going to a wedding. So he was going to wear a suit. And so he brought this suit out that was 20 years old or more, you know. And I thought, my God, you know. And really, that's not so strange. But the thing is, it kept going in and out of style. Men's clothing does that, you know. Women's clothing goes out longer. But the thing is, I had never gone into his closet. I had no interest in it. Now, in the hall closet, where the linen closet was, where we kept the sheets and pillowcases and we kept the extra blankets. And Pop had a beautiful tanned deer hide. He had been a deer hunter. And he brought home a deer hide and a deer. And he made the deer into venison and he made the hide, had it tanned, and it was beautiful. He's a soft, wonderful, you know how deer skin can be. Oh, it was just so lovely. And I was in my early teens, and I was an Indian. I was studying Indians. I loved Indians. And Indians wore little sarongs, you know, and the little leather things over their front, and they had a little piece of drape on it, you know, and in the back. And so I mentally designed myself a little loincloth from his leather. And so here I took this beautiful leather and cut off the edge of it, you know, and made a beautiful loincloth for me. And then a little strip of it for this string around, you know, to hold it up. And I wore that in private. And but I had no thought of doing anything wrong. Yeah. It was not the slightest thought in my mind that what I was doing was wrong. Mm-hmm. Because that was not put away in a sacred place. That was just in the linen closet with all the other sheets and pillowcases and towels and stuff like that and things that we would use, you know. There's nothing was ever kept in the linen closet that was something that we shouldn't be playing with, you know. So I did that. Now, my older brother, I don't know what he was into, but I don't think he was into Indian stuff. And my younger brother, I don't think he was into Indian stuff either. But I was. I was a boy Indian, and I'd go around the woods and be in my native costume, you know, and oftentimes we'd be naked in the woods and running around, just having a great old time. Well, anyhow. But it was not secret, and everybody knew about everybody else, and nobody judged anybody. We just all went our own way, doing our own thing, being our own selves. And you see, when you are so pure in your thought and your attitude, there's nothing to hide. There are no secrets. It's only when you are doing something that you know you shouldn't, or you're doing something that you're trying to irritate somebody else by doing it. You're doing it because you're trying to irritate your sister. Mm-hmm. I read your book. She says, "You didn't dream." And she's arguing with him, and she doesn't remember that she is taking Latin in school, and that she wrote her diary all in Latin. And her brothers and sister could not read Latin, and that didn't dawn on her. It only dawned, you looked in my book. Yeah, it's all Latin. But, you know, the thing is, there was nothing really terrible, but the thing is, it was a violation to look in the book. And, of course, we didn't look in the book and shut up. We looked in the book and talked. I looked in your book, you know, trying to egg him on. And that was not very nice. But you see, the purity of spirit, if Marie had written in her book in just English, no one would have ever read it. No one ever cared. Oh, that's girl stuff, you know. And us boys, we certainly weren't interested in girl stuff. We were interested in boy stuff. That was hard enough to be interested in that stuff, you know. We're learning how to be interested in things we're supposed to be interested in. And it's just a crazy world. Now, there are no secrets. The best way to hide your jewelry is to leave it on the living room table. And no one will ever think anything about it. They think it's just paste. They'll think, why bother stealing that? The burglars come in the house and they go into special pockets looking for safes and stuff. And what do they find? Nothing. Because it's all laying out in the open. Nobody thinks a thing about it, you know. And really, if you come to think about it, if you have a diamond necklace, that's kind of pretty, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Can you hurt that diamond necklace? No. Can you scratch it? No. Can you get it dirty? Maybe, but just rinse it, you know. But it's not something terrible. And so, you see, the more we leave our treasures out in the open, the less anybody's going to be interested in them. You go into the shopping center and you go into your store, and then you think, oh, did I lock the car? You're so worried about your car being locked that you encourage someone to come and steal from it. If you surround your car with your pure white light of love always, and then if you lock it or don't lock it, it doesn't make any difference because it's surrounded by your pure white light of love. No one's going to touch it. No one cares about it. And you see, that's the big issue. Nobody cares about it. And they don't care about it for one reason. Because you don't. You just enjoy it, use it, and when you're done using it, you just leave it lay there. Why do little children leave their toys lie all over the driveway and all over the yard and not put them away? Well, probably the same like their father, leaving his clothes all over the place, you know? Probably the same like the mother, you know? Leaving things here and there, her knitting, her sewing, her whatever she's doing, leaving it out, you know? Habit. And it's a habit that says, I don't respect my belongings by not putting them away. It's not that you're hiding them. Where are your toys supposed to be? In the toy box. Where are your toys? In your secret toy box. Oh, my secret toy box. Oh, you know? And then If you seek a toy box right away, it becomes trouble. If it's just in your toy box, or the toy box, which is even better. Now, Rex has a box here at the monastery with toys in it. He has a box at the Hermitage with toys in it. He has a box at the embassy with toys in it. And Little Love likes to think that they're his toys, but Rex plays them. And Rex has a toy box over in the Shangri-La, everything in the Shangri-La, and in the sheds, and wherever Rex goes, everything's a toy box. In fact, he picks up a stick, and that's his toy, you know, and he carries it like a golden retriever should do, you know, and he just always enjoys it. Now, he's walking along, he has that stick in his mouth, and he's holding it for dear life, and he hears a noise in the bushes. He drops the stick and runs into the bushes. And he doesn't come back and pick up the stick. He just comes back further along the path where I am and has forgotten the stick. The next day, we step right over his mm-hmm. stick, and he pays no attention to it. He has no possession for those things. You and I, we have, this is Rex's toy, this is Rex's this, you know, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. I have a box of collars for Rex. Different sizes for as he was growing up. And I show them to him. He sniffs at them. Yeah, okay. That's when I was a little kid. I don't pay attention to those collars, you know. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Are you a person filled with secrets? Or are you a person whose life is an open book, whose everything you do is a joy, yeah. and every person you meet is loving and honorable, every person you meet is delights in you just as you delight in yourself. Think on that. A very positive, very dynamic, very powerful thing to think about. Because what it is, it shows us that there are no possessions. There are no secrets. And if your teenage daughter leaves her diary out, or drops it in the hall, do you know what would happen, really? Do you know what would really happen?
Nobody would take care.
If she dropped her diary in the hall, no one would even notice it. And when she would come back later and she'd see it there, oh, she'd say, I dropped my diary. Or how'd my diary get here? How did that happen? And then she, oh, yeah, I dropped it here. Nobody cares about anything that doesn't belong to them or that is not of their necessary knowledge, you know. And if we have that in our hearts, we have a pretty wonderful thing going on. Life's like that. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of it and enjoy it. And remember that you are in charge. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Always.